Welcome to a Heritage Christian Centre podcast. For more information, visit www.heritagecc.com.au. We hope this message blesses your life.
I want to start today again about sharing on, continue with the thought about the importance and imperative prayer, and that how the Bible's very clear about when we're sharing with God and hearing from God, God makes a comment about his word. Let me read to you from Isaiah 40, verse 31, and pretty much a whole chunk of our scriptures will come out today out of Isaiah. It said, those who wait on the Lord, not those who don't, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When I was a kid, some of you remember these. Who remembers the Revel kits, toy plastic kits of planes and tanks and cars? I remember them, and I was into the planes. As a kid, I wanted to be a pilot. Right now, I've done none of that. But there was something in me, and I used to take these planes, and I would meticulously cut them and prepare them. And I love watching even now some of the old docos on some of the planes and their strengths and weaknesses. My favourite plane was the Hawker Tempest, which was the last of the Hawkers, which actually was fast enough to catch up to the buzz bombs that the Germans would send across. And it had about a 12-foot propeller on it, and it was so high that when they landed too hard, they'd break their wheels. But it was a fast plane. It had this big radiator underneath it and just looked amazing. But you know what? The guys who flew those planes, they didn't flap their arms to fly. They learned how to use what was given to them for its effectiveness. And there's somewhere in our lives, if we're going to be spiritual people, we need to be able to function in the way God intends for us. And the only way we can do that is to wait on him, to learn to hear his voice, that it's not our strength, but it's his. We're going to fly like eagles when we wait upon the Lord, when we find our strength from God and not from ourselves. Isaiah 43 says this. It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Now, often we will, in the context, we think about all the struggles and the heartaches and the failures. But, you know, there's a truth that it goes beyond that. We can't live in our past, whether there's successes or failures, whether there's joys or sorrows, whether there's pleasure or pain. You can't live today in tomorrow. You can live today. You can only live today in a way that prepares for tomorrow. It goes on to say in the same passage, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God is doing things. And we've got to be careful that we don't try and just keep doing the old. Do something new, but firstly, hear from God. Wait upon the Lord so that when we step into the new, it's a revelation of what God has called us to do, how we do it. See, we're starting Childers next Sunday, and so it'll be afternoon services. I've never done that before, and we've been looking to do it for 5 years. We had hoped to have a building of our own to move into. Guess what? None of the stuff we thought has happened, and we're doing something new. We're still stepping out in faith, and it's not the way we thought, but it's in the direction God has pointed us. And I'm believing God will continue to make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. As we saw last week, Isaiah 54 says, enlarge the place of your tent. We have Nelly prepared the kids' ministry area downstairs. It's still underway. We are going to finish or get it usable by next Sunday morning. It will be a miracle to get there. It will be a busy week. We are doing something new. It's exciting. It's also scary. It's terrifying because I don't know. I know this week is busy. Someone said, what's the year hold? Well, after Easter, we're going on a holiday. But between now and then, we've got a kids' ministry rooms to get ready and start. We've got a church of children's to start. I've got 3 weddings to do. And we've got church. How exciting. God help me. I need to make sure that my strength is not out of my own or I'll burn. I want to make sure that I wait upon the Lord so I can run and not get weary. I can walk and not faint. And church, we need to do that. And it doesn't mean we won't have challenges, but we want to enlarge. We want to stretch out the curtains. We want to lengthen the cords and strengthen the stakes. And we'll expand, I believe, on the left and the right. And our descendants, our children, listen, our children will inherit the nations. God, I want to make sure that our race is run in such a way that we leave an inheritance for our children and our children's children. I want us to leave a legacy for the kingdom of God in this community, in this region. And church, you are doing that already. We are building something for and with God. It's not just for him, it's with him. Because I don't want to do what I want. I want to do what he wants. I want to partner with what God has called us to do. He says, don't be afraid and don't be ashamed. Don't remember the shame. Press on. Seek God. Now, some of you would know that this month, it's my birthday month. Yes, I've officially turned 66. And for some of you who think I'm really spiritual, no. The first thought that came to my heart, my mind, was a song by Nat King Cole called Route 66. The road from Chicago to LA. Anyone remember that one? Yeah, okay. It wasn't super famous, but it's a well-known song on Route 66. And you know, Cars, that kids' movie, it actually grabbed that, and it's around that road. You know, it's this picture of Radiator Springs in Carburetor County. It also showed a picture of what the problem is in today. You know, just down the road a bit was this big highway. People getting from A to B in a hurry. It's all about the destination. No, it's not. It's about the journey. It's about the journey. We're always in too much of a hurry. Let's have a look at the clip, Ben. We can have that video clip up.
Oh, Mater, let me get this straight. I can go when this road is done. That's the deal, right?
That's what they done did said.
Okay, out of my way. I got a road to finish.
Done?
Mm-hmm.
It's only been an hour.
I'm done. Look, I'm finished. Just say thank you and I'll be on my way. That's all you gotta say.
Woo-hoo! I'm the first one on the new road!
It looks awful.
Well, it matches the rest of the town.
I don't care what people think. I just want to get the job done and get out of here. Picture about getting to the destination, not about the journey. Not about how many people you hurt, how many characters in the movie, how many characters get hurt. All he was thinking about is getting to the end, getting what he was had to do. You know, this is the mold the world is trying to push us into, the destination, the destination. They fool young people, get a degree. Now, please, I'm not saying don't get one, but often you'll get a degree and still not have a job. And the guy who's got an apprenticeship has a job and decent money. And you're making a debt and he's making a living. It's get this. You know, sometimes we miss the most wonderful and beautiful parts of our life because we forget about the journey, about the important things along the way. This story goes on and you see the pain, you see the heartache in people's lives. And if you watch the movie on further, he finally learns his lesson, but not before his pride and his ego takes a beating. Second time through, he learned that relationships and care for others are the most important motivations that life is. And it's about the journey as much as it's about the destination. I'm not saying we shouldn't think about the destination, but Christians need to remember it's not just about getting to heaven. I'm going to get to heaven. Good on you. What are you going to do on the way? What kind of life are you going to live? How many people are you going to tread on? How many people are going to be walk over? How many people are going to be just going to abuse on the journey, take advantage of till we get to our destination? Or are we going to journey in such a way that others want to join us in our destination? That others are moved by our compassion, by the way we express the heartbeat of God? Christians need to remember it. We all have passions and desires and dreams, and we all try to satisfy the hungers and thirsts for them that we have. But how we do that matters. Isaiah says it like this in Isaiah 55. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why? Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your wages for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good. Let your soul delight in the abundance that God brings. Incline your ear. Come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. Sure mercies of David. Indeed, I've given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know shall run to you because of the Lord your God. Not because of you, because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Just like the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, it does not return there, but the waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. See, this passage is an imperative and a challenge, and that we must face it if we're to partake of the promise. Will we seek the Lord? Will we listen? Will we hear? Will we incline our ways to His? See, the writer says, why spend your money on what's not bread and your wages what doesn't satisfy? Will we waste our life and our blessings on the temporary, futile things that bring little or no sustenance to our real lives? He's not just talking about money and about natural bread. He's using this analogy of wasting our lives in vain and futile attempts of our own efforts that produce nothing substantial. It's like junk food. It may satisfy the temporary hunger, but it's slowly destroying the physical life. And similarly, we can spend our lives on these things that temporarily satisfy a longing and an emptiness, a hurt or a loss, but in the long run, these things destroy our very being. The writer is challenging us to realize that real food for life, real living water for the soul, comes from seeking the Lord and hearing His word and listening to Him and inclining not just our ears, but our hearts and our ways to Him. It means turning away from the old ways. It means choosing to live in an intimate relationship with Him. And that happens through prayer. Now, prayer is not me doing this and saying words at God. Prayer is so much more than that. Prayer is a relationship. And it's building the relationship with God that God has always desired to have with us. It's learning the life of prayer, which takes time. And even then, there's much more time to learn. You know, the Oxford Dictionary contains about 300,000 entries. Do you know them all? Who's ever played Scrabble with someone who's a know-it-all? Don't you just hate it? They pull out a word, you go, I don't know if that's real or not. And then you don't want to look dumb like you don't know what the word means, so you say nothing. According to a recent survey conducted by The Economist, most adult native speakers of English did a vocabulary test and have a range of words that they sort of know reasonably of between 20,000 and 35,000, but most of us really only comprehend and use about 3,000. Out of 300,000, even if you had 30,000, it still wouldn't be not much. The average native English speaker by the age of 8 has about 10,000 words, and by 4, about 5. Foreign test takers scored between 2,500 and 9,000 words. With over 2 million test results taken, the website Test Your Vocabulary claims that reading has a considerable effect on the size of one's vocabulary, especially people who read a lot. They tend to outscore people that hardly ever read. You know, most of us know less than 10% of our natural born language. That's a sort of inflated estimate. So the reality is that similarly, most of us know little about prayer and speaking in spiritual ways as well. That's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to fill us and empower us with heavenly languages, or speaking in other tongues, they say. And that's another message for another day, because we are Pentecostals, and I will preach about the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Spirit and praying in other languages. But prayer includes the learning of a language, which is enhanced by our reading. Reading the scriptures, spending time in the Bible, and researching what it means in its original languages. And that'll help us in our prayer. In fact, it's actually a part of what prayer is. Prayer is more than speaking. Prayer is reading. Prayer is meditating. Prayer is seeking ways to make that which we've read apply in our life. We need to read so our ways and our words change to become the ways and the words like God. Asking God to reveal what means more fully to us, His understanding, a revelation by the Holy Spirit. And that's a lifelong journey. And if anyone tries to imply to you they've got it all together, just understand, even fully blown English speakers only have at best 10%. So anyone who thinks they've got it all together in the language of prayer, they're kidding themselves and inflating their self-importance. We are all on a journey. And if you've just come to Christ and you're trying to learn how to pray, you're not far behind someone who's been a prayer for 40 years, because they know less than 10% anyway. So what? Have a go. Learn like children learn. Babies learn little by little. They learn by hearing. They learn by watching. They learn when they see how we respond. They learn the nuances of language. And you know, you see children, they know when they're right and wrong, and then they'll use words they know they shouldn't when they're in rebellion, but they know the word. How do they know it? They've learned it somewhere. I'm not suggesting the parents have taught them that. We're going to blame the school. Because they heard it from some other kid whose parents didn't teach them. It was never us. I think James sums it up pretty well. James 5, verse 7. Be patient. Be patient. This is a journey, church. Learning the language of heaven, the language of prayer, is a journey. Sometimes prayer is like, just help. Sometimes prayer is, God, I haven't got a clue. And then we hear, as it were, nothing. You just read the scriptures. Ask God to show it to you. Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits. He waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Waiting patiently. So patience, it's twice. And waiting's turned up until he receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. I reckon James is trying to teach us something. Establish your hearts. The coming of the Lord is at hand. And then he says, here's a warning. Don't grumble. Stop whinging and complaining. Stop gossiping. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. In other words, doesn't matter how good you are at prayer, just be passionate, just be persistent, just be honest, be transparent before God, because he knows anyway. And it says Elijah was a man with a nature just like us. This great prophet, the one who started the journey before Elisha followed him, he's this great prophet, and it says he struggled with the same things you and I struggle with. He struggled with depression. He struggled with rejection. He struggled with no one cares. No one's listening to me. They want to kill me. He goes off in depression. Same as us. We have these challenges of life. But he prayed and God heard him. You don't have to be perfect for God to listen to you. He's listening. You just have to be honest with him. God, I'm struggling. God, I don't understand what this scripture means. I was watching the songs we were singing. And if you haven't got a background in church history, there's another in the fire. What does that mean? If you don't know the Bible story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown in a furnace, fiery furnace, as punishment for not bowing down to a wicked king, and that how the fourth man in the fire was there, and the king saw the fourth man and described him like the Son of God, Son of Man. He was this description of how Jesus protected them in the fire. And if you didn't know the Bible story, that's a weird song. If you didn't know that there was a Red Sea where Moses brought the people through, and held the waters of the sea by the side, you wouldn't know what another in the waters holding back the sea would mean. See, that's why we should read the scripture so we get some understanding of the journey. That's why a song like that is wonderful for us who know the language. And I don't mind singing it. I'm going to sing it. Yeah, but people who don't know the story struggle with that song. What does that mean? Well, can I encourage you, if you're new to the journey, maybe ask someone, look, what is that song about? Because I'll tell you right now, I'd be happy to sit down with you and show you how that God provides. I'd be happy to show you how God delivers people. Also happy to show you how God walks with people even if they're not delivered, but he comforts them in the sorrow. Hebrews 11 is great success and people who struggled in this life, but they trusted God, and God was with them always, even to the end. And they didn't turn their back on him, but they died for their faith. See, we've seen the good parts, but sometimes we need to be honest. Sometimes being a Christian is painful. And the thing about reading the scriptures and meditating as a part of your prayer life is that you start to see things from the perspective of God. You start to see beyond the natural joys and sorrows, and you see the eternal benefits, and so you can journey better because the destination's wonderful. Listen, the destination's wonderful, but you can journey better because you've had a revelation, because you know that his word will not return void. He says, don't grumble. You know, it's very clear that we need this walk of intimacy with God. And we need to walk with our fellow life travelers, other Christians, and even non-Christians who are on their journey. And hopefully that journey, and prayerfully that journey, leads them to an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we want to make sure they see Jesus, not our image of us that we call Jesus. We want to make sure, we sing the song, and again, the song's wonderful. Jesus, no other name. Well, there's a lot of kids called Jesus and Jesus in Mexico. It's not his name. It's the name of a person who is God. It's the one who died on a cross for us, who shed his blood for us, and we remember him. You know, when we had kids, there were the names that we thought about for our children, and Sue brought up a name for a bloke. I said, no, thank you. I know that guy. I don't want to be reminded of that guy when I see my child. So obviously it's my son, not my daughter's. No, please not that name. Sue liked it. I didn't. We didn't choose that one. In fact, we named them the names that are really good for them. Thank you, Jesus. See, there is this journey. The name of Jesus is so wonderful to us because it's a journey that we've had that we realize the one who died for us. When we hear Jesus, we don't see any Jesus. We don't see any Jesus in Mexico. We see Jesus, God in the flesh, who left heaven, came and lived among us and walked a painful journey with the rejection of mankind. And he understood, Hebrews says, he understands our griefs and our sorrows. and he gave his life for ransom for us. We see the Jesus who went to the cross to forgive us for our sins and wash our sins away. We see Jesus who went to the grave and conquered death and sin and the grave and rose again and is coming back. We see a Jesus because our image has come through revelation of a growing intimacy with him. So I pray that when people meet us, the Jesus they see is the Jesus who he is. A gracious, merciful, slow to anger, abundant, loving kindness God. Not a religious bigot, not a religious zealot, but a Christian who's passionate about love and love of God and love for humanity. You know, wonderful thing about God is this, again, his word. And when I say that, I mean his word revealed by the Holy Spirit, not just the scriptures, because the Bible says the letter can kill, but the spirit brings life. The scriptures as revealed by the power of the Holy Spirit that has come alive because we've meditated, we've taken time to read and consider and incline our ear to him. That scripture comes alive. That, he says, will do what it's called to do. This is a certainty. Isaiah 55 says it this way. We read it before. As the rain comes down, the snow from heaven does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please and shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. Yeah, that's why we should know what the scripture says. That's why we should know where the promises of God are. That's why we should know, does that promise apply to me now in this circumstance? Not just grabbing a promise out of a promise box. Does that promise apply to me now in this situation? And if it does, and I have a revelation from the Holy Spirit, then I need to hold on to that promise in my prayer life. God, you said, I believe you've called me to this. I believe this is a destiny, and your word will not return void. And some 40 years ago, maybe a bit more even, in Rockhampton. It's great to have some friends from Rocky here with us today. Great to have you, mate. And God gave us this revelation with Phil Pringle. And let me read it to you. So this is something that stirs in my heart. So Isaiah 55 again. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off, like the musicians and singers to come. That word still burns in my heart. See, in the context, that passage shows me, and I've seen that there are many challenges along the way. We all have them. I've also seen that everything takes time. That's over 40 years ago. Often it takes more time than we would like. That's why we're encouraged to be patient until the fruit is born on the bush. But in and through it all, God has been faithful. And his word will not return void without accomplishing what he sent it to do. You know, I look at it this way. If God can take a 19-year-old high school failure, a rebellious, self-important, egotistical young man like me, and by his word build this growing church, he can surely be faithful to work in your life and work it out for good in the end. There is no other name but the name of Jesus. It's a promise and it's a cry. And we sing that song with a heart because when we sing Jesus, we sing Jesus. We see the one who made a way where there was no way. We see the one who intercedes for us in heaven. He's praying for us now, so surely we can intercede and pray with him. All it takes is surrender to his will. And through intimacy with him, to learn to listen and hear his voice and obey. I know we sing it and we sing songs like Control. God doesn't want to control you. In some measure, it's a bit like a GPS in the car. And some men intentionally put a male voice on there because they don't want to listen to another woman. Sad. But, you know, that GPS tells you where you should go. And I'm that rebellious kid. not going that way. I know another way. You have to redirect your life to figure out where, you know, find out where I'm heading. But God's trying to give us direction to the best life, to the best future. And even when we mess up, He redesigns our life to make it look like that was His intention, because He's so gracious. All it takes is a surrender to Him and His will, and through intimacy to learn to listen and hear His voice and obey. That's all called prayer. To seek Him, to read, to meditate, to listen, to hear His voice and be obedient. You know, if we don't obey, why would He speak anymore? Obey. Seek Him with all your heart, the Bible says, and you will find Him. He actually says to Jeremiah, you do that, I will be found by you, says the Lord. You know, His word will not return void. If you will seek Him earnestly and diligently, I believe you'll find Him. You'll find a fresh revelation of His love and His mercy, His goodness, His kindness. You'll hear Him more clearly, and you know what to do in the seasons of life, whether to speak or whether to be quiet, whether to act or to wait, whether to move now or be patient. And then when we do it His way, His word will accomplish what He sent it forth to do. Today was the last day of, I think, 14 days of a YouVersion daily reading plan about prayer. Today's also the first day I've taken of the IC Church, ISEE, not ICY, the IC Church, 14 days of prayer and fasting. It's about expressing our gratitude. Instead of making requests, being thankful first. Thankful, God, You've been so good to me. If you were in this church in the early days, look around and say, God, You've been so good to us. You brought us from a place of shame. And I think You want more. I believe You want more for us as a people of God to do in this city and this region. And He's not finished yet, but boy, it's a lot better than it was when we came. Hey, Karen. It's been a great journey. Mum was just amazing. Jeannie was, these people, Karen's mum was in the, when that building was open, we had a photo of her out there. And every time I'd preach, she'd say, give it to us, Pastor. She'd encourage me no end. You know what? If for no one else, I'm going to do it for her and Jesus. I'm going to keep preaching, keep loving God, keep loving people, keep challenging us to honor Him. And for the next 14 days, church, don't know which days you pick, but please pick some days to pray and fast. It's an imperative that we learn to hear His voice. It's an imperative that we learn to obey it. And that prayer is bigger than saying things. It is requests, it is petition, but it's also gratitude and thankfulness and seeking His will and His kingdom and His way and building our relationship with a God who is intimate, intimately concerned for us and intimately wanting a relationship with us. Can we pray? Father, right now in this place, we are so grateful You've brought us this far. You're not done with this yet. And Lord, I don't want to dwell and just live in the past. I want to live in what You've yet got to do in us. I want us to be a people that hear the voice of the Lord. Lord, that we hear Your word to our hearts personally, individually, and corporately. That we would see Your kingdom come and Your will be done. That would flow out of intimacy with You, that we would see Jesus. For there is no other name but the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Savior of the world, God in flesh who died for us and rose again to forgive us, to give us a future and a hope. And this attitude of prayer, maybe you're here today and you're not right with God. Maybe you've not committed your life to Jesus Christ. I want to ask you right now, in the atmosphere of this place, will you choose Jesus today? Will you say, yes, I want to choose to follow Jesus. I want to choose to have my life submitted to His and find His forgiveness in the cross. If that's you, would you raise your hand where you are just so I can see it quickly? Thank you. Father, move on people's hearts right now. As we finish up this morning, we want to sing, "There is no other name." Jesus.